Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis. Today
FM. Now, Mel Gedridge, you will know her as Mel and Sue. I Made a Boo Boo. I said they hosted it for 3 years. It was 7 seasons of Great British Bake Off. I caught up with her over Zoom earlier in the week. It was quite funny. She was at home. I was at home. And you know when you have those conversations where it's like you pick up from a previous one, even though you've never met? That's how much I think we had an instant connection. And you're also going to hear her daughters in the background. It's quite noisy. But we talked about her book, The Best Things, which is her debut novel. She's had other works out. But we didn't talk about it that much. We talked about loads of other things. She's brilliant. I love her. Grab a cup of tea and enjoy.
Not your first book, but it's your debut novel. And I love that in The Guardian, you're saying, you know, you've reached a certain age, you're like, sod it, I'm just going to write it. So is that really, were you just like, look, I'm going to do this? Like the confidence must have been there, though.
Well, I think it's that thing, isn't it? As you get older, you do feel a bit more settled in your own skin. And I think you know a bit more about who you are and what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are and stuff. And I had been going on about it for a long time, Alison. I mean, my friends were really bored of me saying for 20 years, I'm going to write a novel.
Yeah.
And then something happened. I don't know. Something happened in my head when I turned 50. And I just thought, it actually doesn't matter what people think of you anymore. It really doesn't. No one's that interested. It doesn't matter. Just do it. So, yeah. And I had this story, the Parker's story, which you read in The Best Things. And I had that sculling around my head for a long, long time. Okay. So they'd come to fruition, the characters in my head. And I thought, okay, no more excuses. And I cleared the diary as well. I'd said to my agent, not that the diary was bursting full, I hasten to add, but I said to my agent, listen, from September to December, I'm going to be in my local library every morning. That's where I'm going to be.
Fine, or you don't. You need that creative space. You need the space to actually do it, or you can't.
Yeah, absolutely. No, listen. I am the laziest, most shambolic person in the world. Well, I'm not that shambolic. I'm OCD meets shambolic, which is a horrible combination. Really bad, but I just, if I'm at home, I can distract myself with literally anything. I found myself lining my drawers with lavender paper. Lavender scented paper.
I've done that.
Have you?
It was before COVID, so I don't really know what my excuse was to do it pre-COVID.
Oh dear, you haven't even got lockdown as your excuse. Did you just do your underwear drawer, or did you then go and do all the drawers?
I kind of did. So the way the closet was this narrow little back, and I was like, how far back does that go? Let's just line that in case it gets stinky back there. So it's kind of like sweaters and jeans and stuff. But I think, you know, no judging.
Yeah, and it's that sort of thing where you will literally rather do anything in the world than actually sit down and be with your own thoughts.
It's a big story. It's a great story. Did you at all base it on experience? I know a lot of people have asked you that.
It's a perfectly valid question. The answer is yes, I did base it on some personal experience. I mean, I have to say... sorry, it's a slightly noisy corridor. It sounds like I'm at school. I'm at a rehearsal room. I'm at a rehearsal room, and there's some high jinks going on in the corridor. So I do apologise. I think the stunt guys have arrived. The stunt guys are amazing. You might see them go past with enormous crash mats. I'm really glad to be speaking to you, Alison, rather than having to do stunts. That involves physical activity. And I know I've got to do a judo throw in one of these episodes that I'm doing. So keep talking, Alison. Just keep the interview going for as long as you like. yes, I mean, I won't give too much away, but the Parkers are living a kind of supersized life. This family, this big family, they've got everything. They've got hedge fund manager dad. They've got drippings of wealth. They're living in a sort of electric gated beautiful house with a basement gym, with a nanny, with a housekeeper. You know, this is real kind of high-end new money living. And in a nutshell, they lose it all. It absolutely gets whipped away from them in quite a sort of dramatic way. And it's about the family kind of looking at each other and saying, oh, wow, you're the people I've been living with for the last 10, 15 years. They've sort of been so insulated by their wealth that they don't really kind of know each other. And Sally Parker, who's the kind of heroine of the story, particularly true of her, she hasn't had to do anything.
The messaging in the book is very much like, in the last year, we've all realized what's important and less is more, and we've coped with a lot less. But interesting, that's the, you know, running through the book, but you wrote it pre-COVID.
It's really, really odd, because I think people who read the book assume that I did it as a kind of response to the lockdown. Yeah. No, I think I'm a seer. I think I've got some seventh sense. No, I wrote it in the winter of 2019, before we even really knew about Corona at all. But it just, it's really weird. It just seems to have slightly sort of chimed in with kind of general feelings that people are having and going through. But what I don't want people to think, obviously, is that, you know, I'm kind of saying, come on, guys, it's brilliant to have nothing. I'm not saying that at all. You know, because that would be a terrible message to be sending out at this particular time when everyone is struggling. But I think what I'm saying is, you know, we've got to be thankful for the we've got to be thankful for the little things. I don't know about you. I mean, on the 29th of March, I was jumping for joy as if I'd just received 20 of the best Christmas presents ever when I was allowed to go and sit in my garden with my neighbor. It's bizarre.
I know. So my daughter recently had to have two sets of COVID tests because there was a case in the class. And last week it came through clear. Great. So we're like, let's go shopping to this like discount store today called Mr. Price and buy foam that you can color into an egg or something. Like, we literally, like, whereas Mr. Price was never on my radar before.
It's interesting, isn't it? I tell you what.
We've reset, I think.
We've had to reset. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to say this now, you know, cut to 3 years' time, but I'm never going to take things for granted again. I'm just not ever.
I don't think so.
No, it's different, isn't it? It's different. Yeah. Life definitely feels different. I think there's been a sea change.
We're actually just starting on the show today when we're speaking with you, our Junior Bake Off, but we had to rebrand it in case we got, you know, sued for that. So,
oh, wow.
That was kind of your bookmark for a few years.
It was a lifesaver for a few years, Alison. You know, it was unbelievable. It just came out of the blue, that show. And I mean, it was funny. We did the first series, which was, it was a bit, you know, I think with any first series that you do, you know this, that you sort of, everyone's slightly in the dark. You don't really know what it is. And you kind of think, this could be rubbish. I'm just going to put that out there and say that this could be a load of old cobblers. And I remember when we finished filming it, I phoned Sue and I said, mate, don't worry. No one's ever going to see that. That show will go so far under the radar. We've got away with it, mate. We've got away with it. We've earned ourselves a little bit of money. It'll be tucked away in BBC Two. No one will be remotely interested in a couple of perimenopausal women in a tent with some bakers making cakes. It's twee. It's irrelevant. And then this mad global phenomenon happened. I mean, it's really, but I love that about life, though. Love that. You know, I mean, it's just madness.
First of all, there, you didn't predict that.
Yeah, really, really.
The two of you are just so, you and Sue, and actually Sue, this is ridiculous, but years ago she followed me back on Twitter and I had to buy a bottle of wine to celebrate. I was so excited. But the two of you just together are, it's like we just want a genuine friendship to watch, like we do. And then that makes the humor all the more lovely to see, you know, the two of you together, definitely.
That's very, very nice of you to say so. Yes. I mean, people who talk to us and, you know, stop us and, you know, want to say hello or whatever, which is always delightful, always do say, well, not always, but some of them say, oh, me and my mate Karen are just like you two, or me and my mate, you know, Linda. It's so nice. I think people, they relate their own kind of friendship to our friendship. I mean, it is a genuine friendship. I don't think we've been friends now for 33 years. We'd have ditched each other, wouldn't we? If it hadn't been working, or if it had been a bit fake, I think we'd have ditched each other by now. So
I love how you've always remained, you know, close to your family, despite, you know, what goes on in life. And, you know, obviously, I really, really loved how you wrote about, or you spoke about your husband recently, and you described my husband, which is like, you know, just wants to keep everything ticking over, grounder. And he's just, you described mine, and I'm a, like, I love mine with the way that it seems that you quite are fond of Ben as well. And, you know, you've got a daughter. I just loved how you wrote about it. It was just like, you do need that one person. But I don't know if you've noticed about him in lockdown. There's definitely times where you're like, okay, well, they need the minding now. They're having a day where they need the minding, even though I feel like mine is the ground, the guy that keeps it all ticking over.
Absolutely. No, I feel incredibly lucky to have somebody by my side through the madness, particularly through, you know, last year. I feel incredibly lucky, and I don't think I could really do this job without Ben. I don't know how it would work, really, because he's there. He does 50%, and I have to say at the moment he's doing about 80%, let's be honest. I'm blooming working, and he's doing, like, you know, he's very, very good.
He's just looking at the back of your head through the glass going, she called that work.
Yes, exactly. Yes, really sort of poncy coffee on the go, just lounging around talking about myself, sitting on a sofa. It's very exhausting, Alison. Oh, darling, it's very exhausting.
I love the book. I love it so much. I'm not surprised that I love it, because I've obviously been a big fan of yours for a long time. And I love the thought that you're thinking of your second book and, you know, where it's going to go. And I think that it's just perfect for people right now. Like, we're still in lockdown in Ireland. We're probably going to be quite locked down until May. I just can't recommend it enough.
Thank you very, very much. It's really, really lovely to talk to you. And I haven't been to Dublin in a while, but I've had some extremely good times in Dublin. It's a city that I really, really, I love it. It's amazing. It's cool. It's so cool. Really lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. Best of luck. Thank you.
See you. Bye. Have a great day. Bye.
Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis
on Today FM.